Oh.
Yeah, now it's working?
Yeah, now it's working.
Very good. So, I was saying that this is a sheet about the not the golden mean, or the golden path. Because in some modern Jewish works, we find the phrase Shevil HaZahav, which translates to the golden path. And people describe this to the Rambam, they say the Rambam was pro the golden path, which is said to be a word for the middle path. Unfortunately, the Rambam had never heard of any golden path. Nor did Aristotle. Sometimes if you look in them, you say like, oh, so the Rambam took it from Aristotle, so the Rambam didn't call it this, but Aristotle didn't either call it no golden path. Golden path is a phrase by the Roman poet named Horace. And he has a poem where he advises people to go in the golden path. And what he means over there, and not what he means, what he's talking about there is not trying to not stand and be a centrist. Not a centrist politically, but a centrist in the kind of life you pursue, right? You shouldn't pursue being too rich or too poor. Maybe you're too smart or too dumb, things like that. And he calls this going on the golden path. His analogy of the path is actually a seafaring, a ship analogy, where if you're on a ship, you shouldn't go too close to the shore or too far from the shore, because both of those are dangerous. So you should go in the middle. That's like a balabatish, like a bourgeois standard path in life, right? Try not to stand out, try not to be too rich, try not to be too poor. But if you do anything too well, you might be endangered, because who knows, people don't like the, right? So that's a thing that is not what we're talking about, anyways. Very weirdly, some of the people that, and it's maybe a good sign, if you see someone quoting the Shevil HaZahav, you know that he didn't read Rambam, or he doesn't understand what he's talking about. I imagine that this came into Jewish literature by way of some maskil who read some, some modern or Renaissance or like ethical texts, and they found this language, and they thought it would be cool to write in Hebrew, and then some from people also picked it up. But I don't know that. I just imagine that's usually how these kind of phrases and mistranslations enter into Jewish texts. But what we are talking about is what the Rambam called, actually, since we're reading this beginning of Mishneh Shmoneh Perukim in Perek Dalet, which we give this definition, what he called it first is the equal path, right? He talks about first the actions, because of course we discussed this a lot enough, maybe not enough, but a lot, that the primary thing in this whole ethical theory is doing things. Doing things doesn't only mean doing things in the sense of things that you could see that you did. It includes feelings, because feelings is also something that you do. The point when I say doing things is that although the theory says that there's something called virtues, the Rambam translates as malus, or even Tibbon translates the Rambam as malus, which is the propensity or disposition or like habit, hexis is the Greek word, in the soul, Rambam calls it tchina or kinyan, in the soul to act in the correct way. What defines the correctness of it is not the habit or the hexis, the thing in the soul. What defines the goodness is the
midah.
The activity. The goods is the good, what defines the midah, what defines the habit, which is what causes you to do good, is the doing.
Right, but the first thing we can say good about is the midas, right?
No, the first thing that we say good about is the activities, the actions.
But there's good midas and bad midas of a certain...
No, there are good actions and bad actions. In other words, there are extreme, right? Extreme actions and non-extreme actions and correct actions, equal actions. And the midas that cause them are the good midas.
Right, but I mean to say in like the order of...
In the order of definition, it's the activities that are primary.
Yeah,
in the order of becoming, or in the order of achieving them, it's also the activities that are primary happens to be.
Right, but for potential outward, the first thing that's...
Yeah, in the order, then there's three levels of potential and whatever, but that's not...
See, but the first thing that can be said about that it's good is the middah, right?
You could say that, but that's going to lead us to be mistaken and think that that's what makes it good. What makes it good is the activity. what defines the goodness, and actually also what defines what this middah is. In other words, we only know what the middah is, or we only define what the middah is by knowing what it causes you to do. There isn't any, although we say something sometimes that what the goodness inherit resides in the person, right? We want to be a good person, which is the big difference between someone, we'll later talk about someone who is only in self-controlled person and someone who's a good person, right? A self-controlled person is not a good person precisely because he does not have the middah. But it still doesn't mean that the good person is a good person because he has the middah. The good person is the one who likes to do the things that the self-controlled person does. The only difference between self-control and good is liking. Now, of course, a middah is a like, so that's called having the middah. But it's important to realize this, that it's not that the good person is someone who feels that, like, in somehow internal. There's something very important. Did we go through this enough times in this series, right? Something very important to realize, that the Rambam does not have an internalist ethics. Or no, does Aristotle, maybe some other people like the Chavis have it, I don't know. But, and I think that most people nowadays are very confused with their ethics being too internalist. That's why I push it being external. Point with external does not mean utilitarian, does not mean that we only care about the results. We do care about you being a good person, but all that means is that you like doing good things. It's only the liking that's the difference between the self-controlled person and the not self-controlled person. Between the good person and the bad person, even though the bad person might be doing good things.
But the good things you do.
Yeah. And that's called having the middah. And when you like it, you could say it comes easy to you. You could say you're going to do it almost automatically without pushing yourself, without fighting with yourself. You're a person, that the person that likes doing good things is a person that's not in self-conflict all the time. He's a happy person, because being happy means not being in conflict with yourself or with, you know, different wishes and different pressures that you have in yourself. He's a full, complete person in the sense of being free of conflict. Remember, there's two people that are happy in this sense, right? The really good person and the really bad person. Right? The self-controlled person has a bad life. Right? That's what it says in the Gemara, that this world is only for tzaddikim gemirim or reshoim gemirim. The bainanim have a bad life in this world. They could hope for another life in the other world. But in this world, it's bad to be a bainanim. You shouldn't try to be a bainanim. And since Aristotle is mostly concerned about, firstly concerned with the happy, good life in this world, he can't be pro being a tzaddik, being a benoni in that sense, being a mishal v'yitzra. Because that's a person who has a bad life, right? That's also why, chinuch or anyone that cares about first giving their people being educated a good life in this world, should not be educating them primarily towards self-control. Self-control, unless self-control is, you know, it's a step in the way, which it might be, but self-control as an end is a bad life because you're fighting with yourself, so you're not happy. Right? That's why it says in Tanya, that the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha, and it says in Rambam, is that the tzaddik is happy with the mitzvahs that he does and the rasha is not happy. That's where you get this focused in Hasidus and things like that. Because that's the whole difference. Okay, what do I get into? This is a side note. Point is now, we already had last year shiur about simcha and sukkah's time to explain why this whole shit is this shit. So, in any case, the important thing here, where we are now here, is that the definition, the primary thing, what makes the middah good is the activity. This is the important side over here. The middah consists of liking the good activity. But what we have to know first, if we want to know which is the good middahs, basically, which is the question we're asking in this chapter. We're not talking about what middahs are, really. That should have been defined already in the previous chapters. Were they defined is another question, but we're supposed to have been defined already, right? Sort of the psychology. Now we're talking about the actual ethics. So the actual ethics is all about the actions. That's why the Rambam starts with the good deeds, the good activities, not about the good middahs. Right? And it says the good activities, the good things to do, are the equal things, or we could say the balanced things, or the straight things, I call them sometimes, the straight things. The Rambam's Shiva is the straight things, right? Trying to not start with saying middle, because it's first the correct things, and then they are between two bad extremes, which are either too much or too little, right? Yeah. And then, following from that, he said that therefore the middas, or the virtues, are the conditions or the dispositions or the habits which are likewise equal or likewise intermediate because they cause the bad things. That's how I read it. There's a whole machloikas in the Mefarshim of Aristotle if it's correct at all to say that the habits, right, the hexes, the things that we call midas, are also in some sense measured, are also in some sense means. It seems to me that not. And this is more complicated than this. I'll get to this. What we get in Rambam here, because when I say a good midah, when you realize that we're talking about good midahs all the time, we always talk about having good midahs. We don't talk about having good actions, right?
Yeah.
Because you understand that good actions is not enough. You want at least, and the good actions, of course, are supposed to lead you to have good midahs because of the theory of how you get good midahs, which we'll get to in a second. But you were talking. We're always talking about having good midahs, and then we seem to say, and Rambam himself, and if you look in Mishneh Torah, maybe it's misleading in this way. Where's Sefer HaMada? And Rambam himself might be misleading you in this way if you look at Mishneh Torah, which maybe we shouldn't do. But we always say that the good middas are the intermediate middas. Like having not too much kas and not too good, not too much and not enough and not too little kas and so on.
Balance.
Right? Yes, but the reality is that what is balanced is not the middah. Or you could call it balance, but there's nothing balanced in it. In other words, if you want to decide if something, if someone is balanced, if someone has the middle middas, well, we're not going to sort of, like someone said, we could have an x-ray of his soul and see if it's like he has too much of it in him. There isn't any too much that you have in you. Because this whole theory of middas is not what we call the pneumatic theory. It's not the theory that there's like pressures or energies in you that are going up and down. That's not what is going on here. The theory starts from the outside. It starts from, there are some people that are act in the ways which are called too much, some people that act in the ways that are called too little, and we have to understand why they're even called that way, but that's, we'll get to, and there's some people that act in the right way, in the middle way, in the correct way, and some of those people are also predisposed, also like to act that way, let's say.
They were born that way.
No, some people are born. Not worried about born at all. Born is a whole different discussion.
Okay.
Some people like, no, they're
they
not
didn't invest too much.
No, they did invest. They did. They got the house. I didn't tell you how you got there. There's a way to get there. Or nothing to do with being born. If you're born that way, there might be nothing good about it anyways. But, and also nobody is born with good medicine. Don't worry.
That's true. Okay.
It's basically true because of the definition of the middle that we'll get to understand. That means using judgment. There's no middle path without using judgment. So you'll understand that you might be born with closer, easier to work with, but you can't be born with a good middah. Nobody is born with good middahs. Usually the people that we think are born with good middahs actually are an extreme. Because, for example, if you say someone is born with a middah of kindness, he's always kind, that person will tend to be kind also in the wrong places, kindness at all, one of the extremes of kindness.
Yeah.
Related to whatever kindness is about, and which is not good. So of course you might say, okay, but other people are harder because they have the opposite of kindness, which is like harshness or being not nice to everyone, and therefore it's hard for them to even be nice when they need to. And maybe those cases are more than the case where you need to be harsh. That's possible, but it's still almost nobody, or maybe literally nobody, is born with the correct middah. That's not something that you're born with, it's something you're educated into, or educate yourself, or educated by others, but it's something that you need to be taught. It's like nobody is born knowing math. Some people are born with the predisposition to know math easily. Okay, that's very nice. Good for them. But nobody's born knowing math. There's some art in this that there is necessary. It's not just a habit. It's not just a disposition. Right. But back to where I am. What I'm saying is that to know what is a good middah, there's no way of, like, if we would have, just to go back, this is what people are confused, I think. If we would have this, like, pneumatic, do you have a better word for my other model? It's a good word. This like pressure theory of middahs, where people have a bunch of different energies or not ratios, different like bubbles bubbling up in their inside of their soul, pushing them to do tavis or to do kas or to do chvais, all kinds of gav, all kinds of things. And they're like, then you could sort of imagine yourself as looking into the person's soul and seeing, okay, you have to turn down the knob of that one a little bit. But since this is not the way, maybe that's in some sense true. I mean, of course, people that think of that are basing themselves on some kind of experience that seems to show something like that. But this is not the primary way that we're thinking of here. This is not the basic model that we have here. The basic model that we have here is that of people that act in the correct ways and people that act in the incorrect ways. The only thing we know is that some people like to act in the correct ways. Don't need to fight with themselves in order to do that. They like it. It comes to them, we could say, naturally. It's because of what they are, not because of them, you know, forcing themselves in some kind of internal conflict way. Then we say that therefore the person who is acting and generally acting in the correct way, and it's not enough once. This is why it's something very important that we cannot talk about a middah as something that you do once. Because the whole point of a middah, although in a good activity you could do once, but the middah is something like we need to see over a bunch of situations, over a bunch of maybe in, really over the course of a whole lifetime, which is another discussion, but at least over a whole bunch of situations, we could see that you are acting in the correct way, not too much or not too little way. And then we say this person has the correct middah relative to this subject.
But just to be clear, he's not saying that people who don't like to act in a correct way should not go out of their way to do so.
No, of course they should. We're just telling you what it means.
Even though they'll have a miserable life. Even though they'll have a miserable life.
Yeah, they're going to have a less miserable life because they're going to become used to it.
Right.
No, you should. No, this is not a theory that you should do. You should follow your passion and have the goodness of being non-self-conflicted.
Meaning,
even if you're evil. No, that's not the theory.
That's why I didn't understand what you said.
That's not the theory.
You shouldn't be a binary.
Well, you shouldn't be. It's very sad to be one. You should try. You should never aim to that. Some people have that as the main aim. They say the main thing of being a good person is being self-controlled, which is saying the perfect person is the worst person, has the worst life because he never does what he likes.
Okay, so that's not...
So
that's
some people have this... Some people like Immanuel Kant, some people, very important people, have said this, that you're only considered a good person when you're going against your will and forcing yourself. And that's called having a sad life. That's why you become a Nazi in the end, because you're so worried, so busy hurting yourself that you think that hurting others maybe also a mitzvah. So, right?
Yeah, but the Buddha's Hashavas, meaning you're looking first at what the person's, the action should also be intermediate, right?
That should also, it's the thing that's intermediate. Not also, that's the primary.
Sorry. It goes backward. We're looking for intermediate actions that then have corresponding or balanced actions that have correspondingly balanced middos.
Yes. That's the first important thing, and it's explicit. This part is not even a question, it's explicit. The thing that is a question, a little bit of a question, is to what extent is the internal thing at all something equal? And if you read the Rambam, for example, you see him saying something like, or here I have an English translation, he says something like, virtues are psychic conditions which are midway between two extremes. He calls the conditions also in between two extremes, one in excess and one in deficiency. And then the good deeds are products of these middos, right, of these virtues. That is what he seems to say, but then there's a question, if that means anything.
That's also, it's moving in the opposite direction that we...
Not in the opposite direction. The correct, exact direction. What I told you, it's the correct direction. The equal thing, the intermediate thing, is the activity, the predisposition, the habit, the liking towards that activity is what causes it.
Yeah, but I'm saying is he moved in opposite direction.
It moves, the causation moves in opposite direction. The causation, nobody disagree with that. Causation doesn't move in the same direction as the definition. Right. It moves in the opposite direction. But that's not what makes it good. What makes the good activity good is not that it comes from a good middah. It's the opposite. What makes the middah good is that it causes a good. By the way, all of Aristotle's formal definitions work this way, right? Work it backwards, right?
Mm-hmm. Is there anybody who disagrees with that?
I told you, the people that think of middahs as like these levers in your soul, like as like knobs that you turn up and down, tend to disagree with that. And there's something else. That's number one. That's the people that entirely don't have this picture of the soul that we're talking about, which I think most people don't realize that they think that it's mostly a internal thing, primarily an internal thing, primarily like being a person that doesn't get too excited or too sad ever. And that's not what we're primarily about. Because even if being excited is an activity, what we're talking about as a virtue is one step beyond that, right? Do you know when to get excited and when to not get excited? What I was telling you is that all of Aristotle's definitions go this way, right? They all start from the activity and then say what things are. A human soul is something that causes the things that human life is.
The biggest counter to the lever theory is that over here the middle could just be a matter of when instead of a matter of degree, right?
For sure.
It's the easiest illustration of it.
Well, not entirely, because it's true, but it's also a lot of it's also a matter of degree. Aristotle has like a list of five.
Yeah, yeah. What I'm saying is, this would seem out of place. When would seem out of place in a theory where you're trying to
maybe
measure
maybe not necessarily, because you could always you could always imagine that people would always imagine it as something like someone who has less trigger happy is going to become is what it means sometimes if someone says, or someone who's less easily triggered to be angry, so he's going to be angry only for a very major thing. That's what the Rambam himself seems to describe it in Chazdas. So people imagine it still as being an intensity thing, and therefore it's triggered only by if you have a low intent, the correct intensity, then it's only triggered by a very important thing. But it's true what you're saying, that it's not only about like a big thing. There's big things that you shouldn't be mad at, and small things that you shouldn't be mad at.
And sometimes it's also really circumstantial. Like there are times where the middle is actually...
And towards who?
Closer to one
towards extreme. Depends towards who, if the person deserves to be angry at and so on.
Or if you're kicking a tree.
Yeah. Maybe you should kick trees, I don't know, but I have to decide.
Also, at a certain point, you boiled down Aristotle to something. You said something about the soul causing. How did you come to that?
It's different. I just connected two things. Not important. I'm just saying that all of his formal definitions work from the activity in, not from thing out. That's because of his whole idea that the what something is for is what makes it what it is, and not it's he doesn't have a pushing and pulling theory of the world. Mm-hmm. But if it's nicht ma'akav over here, it's not the most. It's separate. It's a basic metaphysical thing that makes this idea also work, but it's not. We don't have to get into that right now. This is the important thing that we know right now, that activities are primary. That's why the Rambam starts by defining the correct activities. That's how he starts it in this chapter, in the first two lines of this chapter, and that is the correct way. There is a question. I'm going to tell you the question, and we'll think about it in a minute. There is a question to what extent there is at all an intermediate virtue. We do the Rambam here, for example, as well as Aristotle in different places, does speak about the virtues, the habits, the things in the soul being somehow intermediate. But what does it mean for them to be intermediate? If it, all it means is that it's the way of being that causes the intermediate actions, then it's not really it's not between anything and anything. It's just, you could call it that way, because it's what causes. Whatever causes the extreme is extreme, whatever causes the middle is the middle, but it's not in the middle. It's not in the middle in any way. And now, if we think of it that way, then we really shouldn't even say that it's in the middle. Because what we should say is that it's the propensity to be able to aim at the middle, right? For example, let's take our example of an archer. I think this is the more correct way to think about it, although the language doesn't really work entirely. If you take the example of an archer, right? Remember that one of the big examples that we have here in the entire ethics is the metaphor or the imagery of archery. So, right, even the whole beginning, which starts that we should know what is good, so we should be able to aim at it, right? This is all about, the ethics is all about knowing what to aim at and to do that. And he says, we have to see, we have to try to see. This metaphor of seeing is very important also for this, which is because this kind of seeing is practical wisdom, is a kind of seeing. We have to see what we're aiming at, and if we don't see, we won't be able to aim, right? Yeah. Now, in the same way, we say that the middle is something like the target, right? When we say the middle, we mean something like a target. Like you have to aim your arrow, your bullet, whatever, at the target, not too much on this side, not too much on that side, which would be called too much and too little. That's one of the images that we have here for the middle.
And distance will make you bias your aim.
Very good. So that, therefore, people say, therefore, just like if you're shooting, they teach you that, you know, if there's wind, you have to try to do it that way so you should get to the middle. This is a good way of showing that what defines the middle is the target and not how you're standing. You might need to go like this in order to get it there, right? And you have to count for all kind of different environmental situations, and also you have to decide where your aim is. Maybe you're trying to aim up and then you have to turn it up. Like, it's not something defined from your perspective, it's something that the goal defines. And you also have to take into account all the things in between you and the goal, which might cause you to do things that look crooked, but really they're straight, right? Like the thing that there's no straight. There's no, how does it go? It's like this, see the saying, right? For a ladder to be able to work, it needs to be crooked. Otherwise it's going to fall down. That's straight for a ladder, right? Because the goal of the ladder is still to climb, it shouldn't fall. So that has to be straight. And some people seem to be too straight, they're not actually straight, they're crooked. Right? Yeah. Sometimes in order to get to the correct target, you need to stand like that. Anyways, the point of this image is And if we think of the good, the middle path, as something like hitting the target, right? Then the disposition, the middah of hitting the target would be something like having good aim, right? There's people that have good aim and have bad aim. But having a good aim is not really a middle position. There's nothing middle. It's not like someone has, I mean, you could always say, you could say in a trivial way, like someone has slightly less than good aim or slightly less, more, there's really something like slightly more than good aim, right? That doesn't really make sense. You can have say that either you're aiming well or you're less than a perfect aim. But if you have a good aim, all that is a good judgment for how to get at the target and take into account all the conditions that you need to take into account, and after that get to the good target. That's all it consists of. There's nothing intermediate about this ability. Only, you know, by a borrowed way. Only in the sense that this is what causes you to be able to hit the target correctly. And if we understand middas the same way, then we have to say that the middas aren't in the middle at all. All the middas consist of is the kind of knowledge or the kind of skill, we could say, that allows you to hit the target when you will act.
Yeah, but so we observe the person. We observe them do it over a long time, many times, and then we can respectively.
Beside them, this person has. I'm just saying that there's nothing intermediate in itself about the middah.
If I witness the person aim.
We say this person has good aim, but what does it mean to have good aim? That he aims, that he hits the target all the time or most of the time.
Now I can also say that his midot are now in the middle.
They're not in the middle. Then in between what and what? Very nice. I understand how I know, but his midah is not in the middle of anything.
I see.
There isn't really such a thing as having too much of that.
This means it's just calibrated.
There's such a thing as having too little of that. But the midah, the skill that he has, is the skill of finding the middle. It's not the skill is not in the middle. The skill is of finding the middle. Or maybe not only finding, also choosing the middle, right? You'll remember that this goes back to a discussion of to what extent are there even middas? What do we even mean when we talk about that? Aristotle has a discussion in Book 5, the Rambam touched it in Chapter 2 or 3. What does it mean to talk about different virtues, different middas, right? We talk about, you'll see the Rambam has a list of 9 different middas here. That list is not supposed to be exclusive or inclusive. It's just a random list somewhat, because it's examples. I don't know if in Mishnah Torah his list is supposed to be more inclusive, more like a full list, a complete list. I'm not sure. I think this is a big question. And if there is also a question, if there should be, so if there, is there even such a thing as like a complete list of all the correct virtues? Classically, you know, in classic Greece, they talked about 4 main virtues, known as...
Was caused by the Eishman
Rehobah. Justice, temperance.
Some people may have probably made that connection, I don't know. Yeah, but Aristotle and Plato tend to talk about, or Aristotle actually talks about many more. But Plato, and classically, they talk about 4 virtues called temperance, justice.
Temperance and justice are the only 2 that I know.
Wisdom.
Okay.
And courage.
Okay.
Classically, there's 4 virtues. Which 4 cardinal virtues? Then Plato has entire theories of deriving them and why these are the main virtues and so on. But these are, and if you'll notice that in the list, they always are, in all the lists, you'll see a few versions of the list. One will get to it in 5 months to talk about the lists. You'll see that almost all lists include these 4 virtues. They add and they split it maybe some in different ways, but every list that you'll find will include. You'll see the Rambam right away when he talks about the middas, we'll talk about temperance and courage. And also then about wisdom and justice. But those are the first 2 always, and that comes from this list, from this very classical list. In any case, but if we talk about this list, for example, then there is a question: what does it mean to have courage as distinct, right? And this is a very classical question. If there is really more than 1 virtue, you remember Socrates claimed there's only 1 virtue, or that all the virtues are boiled down to knowledge. And there's a question that comes out from this, which is. What does it mean to have that there's also courage and also temperance? You can understand that it's not such a good question, but just to explain the question. Courage means the correct amount of courage, right? Or in other words, knowing when to act in courageous ways, or not in courageous ways, knowing when to take risks, talk like that, when to not be afraid of dangerous situations, and when to be afraid, when to retreat, right? Or it's a war virtue, right? It's knowing when to attack and when to retreat. That's called courage, right? Because, of course, too much is not courage. It's just I forgot what we call it, rashness, or not being serious. The other, the opposite is just being a coward. What?
The median of all these, of all the middos, is that they're guided by
in the same way, right? In the same way, temperance is a mean. Temperance is something in between being too much of a freser and too little of a freser. Okay.
Right, so now, knowledge being the only virtue would mean knowledge being the only thing that impacts your middos or aligns
yes,
your middos.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, if I tell you that what we're thinking of is some what you need for all the middos. Now, this isn't for sure true that no middos exists without a measure of knowledge. Or we call this practical wisdom. Aristotle calls this practical wisdom known as?
Judgment.
What's his word for it?
Oh, a political, no.
Known as?
Oh, we just had this 4 classes ago.
Known as phronesis.
Oh, I'm not a Greek.
Yeah. You should know. Okay, because it's a special thing. Yeah, you could, it's fine. Oh, so it opened? Who opened the door? I thought he was coming, someone. Right, it's very important. There's no middle. This is clear. In other words, since right, this is since. If middles would just be a pneumatic thing, something where you just have to have it too, not too full and not too empty, then you wouldn't need any knowledge for middles, any kind of judgment or any kind of seeing. It would just be some, like you would say, someone could have been born with it also, or someone could have just like had it without. It would have been the same in every situation also, right? It would have been like a law. We could have made halachas for it. We could have been a shachan or a halachas midas. Since we tell you, very importantly, I remember this. It was already in chapter 2. Did we discuss? We found it here somewhere, right? We discussed the concept of practical wisdom, known in Greek as phronesis, or in Yiddish heißt es um Seichel. Mein Baba fragt so, was tut der Chachma, das ist kein Seichel? Zwei andere Sachen, wo man kann man um ein Seichel. Kein Seichel, lieben kein Seichel. Some kind of judgment, knowing when to use, you know. Then...
Chaim, Chachm is Chaim.
Yeah, not exactly. I don't think it's enough, but yeah, something like that. Then you understand that it's not really like, there isn't really, then we could ask you a question. Someone could tell you, there isn't courage distinct from temperance. Both of them just boil down to knowing how to act.
Yeah.
In which, when?
Knowing how to act and then acting according to that.
Yes. So Aristotle says something like that it's not correct, that there is only knowledge, because knowledge makes you know what the goal is, and the virtue makes you actually want it. Which are two things. Remember that virtue is consistent in liking. He imagined that someone could sort of, this is where we get into the question of Krasia, known as weakness of the will, known as chlemisayayetzer, known as people claiming to want one thing and not doing it, which doesn't really make sense. And Aristotle tries to solve it with these distinctions, not for now. But the point is, right, Stakuris just flat out denies it because of this reduction of all ethics, or connected this reduction of all ethics to knowledge. So either he just calls it ignorance, right? Nobody does.
The Arba gives you room for a
what? If there is, exactly, if there is such a thing, just be clear, if there is such a thing as distinct middos, then there might be such a thing as not, as knowing and even wanting what something good and not doing it, or also wanting the opposite somehow, okay, weirdly. I don't know if there's, but if there's only knowing, then you might not know, you might be in a state of ignorance, then we can understand why you're doing the wrong thing, because you didn't know. Right. Other than that, there isn't any possibility for that. But we're getting very off topic with getting into that question. But the important thing is that what we all admit is, well, what we admit is that there is a need. There's a necessary ingredient. No ethics of the middle path could exist without the concept of correct judgment, without the concept of noticing and understanding how to act in this situation. That is what the middle consists of. So therefore, I will say, okay, it's not entirely enough, because ethics being good is not entirely just of knowledge, it's also of liking. That's why Aristotle says, the wisdom, the practical wisdom shows you the mean, but the virtue makes you do it. Mm-hmm. Right? Knowledge, and it's a kind of knowledge, or it's a kind of skill, it's different than a skill. This is where it's different than a skill, right? For example, we discussed that having this knowledge, like having good aim, is a kind of skill, like a technical skill. Just like someone has a good aim, or someone's a good carpenter, he has a good eye to judge how to make his tables correctly, but that doesn't make him make tables. The thing that makes him make tables is love of money, usually. Not knowing how to make good tables, that doesn't make you do anything. Or maybe he just likes it for the art or whatever. Okay, that's still a separate thing than the knowledge. When we talk about a good middah, that includes already both. We talk about the knowledge, the skill, the knowing how to find the correct way, and the liking it. Because otherwise, nobody is a good person for knowing what's good. You're a good person for liking what's good, and for doing it. But at least for liking, or the opposite. At least for doing it, but really a good person for liking it. So therefore, what you understand, even if you add this ingredient of liking, right, of being drawn to the good, still, if the middle consists of knowing what to aim at, it seems like there should be only one virtue, which was all boiled down to some kind of liking the mean in every situation, or liking the correct activity in every situation. Makes sense? Since we don't say that, obviously not, we have long lists and long discussions of each of them. That can't be what we think. We as in the Rambam, we as in Aristotle, don't think that. So, what separates the virtues is... Actually, I don't know the correct...
It's a bit of a steer.
Language.
Why are you listing virtues if you think there's a one...
Right,
yeah,
right.
One bit of knowledge which you can...
And in other words, it's also possible... There is some sense in which there's the unity of the virtues is also affirmed, but it's also some way possible for someone to have enough courage but not enough temperance. Have the correct this virtue and not the correct that virtue. Seems to be possible.
And there's certain preparation required in order for knowledge to guide your actions.
In other words, also you would need different... So there's both a different side. So now we could say something like this. Since it's not true that there's only knowledge... We have to understand, I don't actually know the answer, I know the question now. I don't know the exact formula, the correct or silly formula for answering this. That's good, I could try to think of it. What I have to say is something like, let's think. I'm just getting into the whole thing to try to understand in what sense the virtue is a middle, right? And then we can go back to the broader question, which is why we even started this concept of middle, what do we even want from the middle? I'm thinking, so two things. Number one is that there seems to be a separate sciences, right? Remember that one of the things that Aristotle criticizes Plato in the first book about the idea of the good, where it's like everything aims towards the good, so therefore we just need to know what good means. And he says that seems to be very nice, but it doesn't seem to actually help me practically. Nobody makes tables with an eye to the form of the good. That's what Aristotle claims. Platonists disagree. But Aristotle claims that what he's looking for is something practically useful. He's not here for theoretical science, and he doesn't think that theoretical science, even a theoretical science of ethics, is make people good. He's looking for some kind of knowledge that almost makes you good, or that describes what it means to be good. And therefore, we're looking for practical, when he talks about separating the sciences of the ethic, the sciences of the good, he's talking about in a very practical sense. And he would tell you something very simple, that there's some knowledge, right? There's something that can be taught here, right? We could talk about it, just to be clear. This is something that I keep on emphasizing, right? It's not true what the Maaseh Shulam says, that Maaseh is about reminding yourself of things you already know. We absolutely disagree with this particular Maaseh Shulam, and therefore probably with the whole book Maaseh Shulam, which is based in some sense on this idea. And one time we'll take a whole class to deconstruct it, because this is all anti-Maaseh Shulam. Maaseh Shulam is a Socratic in that sense, extreme Socratic, right? He thinks that we already know everything. Well, not Socratic, because Socrates at least agreed that we were ignorant. And he says, you're not even ignorant, you're just evil. Which is a really weird thing to say about human beings. Mm. If you know human beings, you'll know that that's not what's going on. So he says forgetful, which is a kind of ignorance, so maybe.
But it's the middle in the sense that it's it's calibrated towards something, right?
Oh, right.
Meaning it's not just the meter running loose. Right.
So we need to sort of describe the different kinds of calibrations for different kinds of aims, for different kinds of targets.
It's the middle in the sense that it's, I wouldn't say it's never at any of those two extremes, but it's likely brought between them by some other guiding principle, right?
Right, so right, it's like the person that's a good archer or has good aim, his skill of good aim, or you could even say his arrow, his bow, his whatever thing.
But it's also definitely not pointing it all the way to the left.
Okay, but that well, maybe and maybe not. I don't know. Depending on this, depending on
it.
But that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about his bow and arrow, his thing that he's shooting. We're talking about his knowledge. Knowledge isn't in the middle of anything.
Right, but I'm saying is what's middle about his. About it, what's mida about it
is that it's aimed towards that.
Yeah, and therefore likely
and it knows brought, how to aim towards that.
Yeah, and likely brought somewhere between the two extremes to do so.
In some sense, or not? Maybe yes, maybe not.
I'm just trying to figure out what's middle about the mida.
Yeah, I don't think that. Wait, let's try to figure out first what's middle. What is mida about the mida at all? Right. What's mida about the mida? Maybe we can answer the question like this. What's mida about the mida?
I said it's an amount of something.
No, what's what I mean to say is, if there's a virtue of liberality, okay? Which is giving enough and not too much, okay? Of your money, for example, okay? Then we could say this consists in, it doesn't consist in giving, but we'll get to it, doesn't consist in giving away half of your money, which is for sure not a way that's the middle. But it consists in somehow in judging when is the correct time to give and when is not the correct time and who deserves to give and how much and so on. Now, the judgment is just a judgment. It's a little weird to call a judgment the middle. It's not in between anything.
Right, but it's likely not absolute stinginess and misery or absolute
Just to be clear, it's not even okay. But now you're talking about the activity already. No problem. We can talk about the activity. If you talk about the activity, then we can talk about that. That's another discussion. Remember, you're talking about a different question. There's one question, which is that since I claim, and we'll get to the claim, I'm not talking about that, just to distinguish them. Since we claim that the middle is not a mathematical middle,
right?
It doesn't mean giving away half of your money. Or I don't know how you would calculate the middle of that. It's some kind of correct middle. You're still correct, but you're saying that there's some level of guidance in saying that it's a middle. That's a different discussion. Okay. What I'm talking about is not that. That is one discussion. Yeah, yeah. There's one question. There's many different questions about the doctrine of the mean. One of the questions is the question that you ask. How much is it informative at all? Does it tell us anything? Because since I claim, and I don't claim this by myself.
This is uneducated mean, meaning just the middle of the two.
Yeah. Since I claim that the middle doesn't mean in between, then it seems to not be informative at all. So you're saying that it's somewhat informative, it gives you something, but we can talk about that question. That's a different question.
I'm not asking that question.
I don't know how much connected it is to this question. What I'm talking about is a different question. What I'm talking about is the question of since we're starting about this thing about the activities, the actions, the deeds, the doing being works, right? This is about faith and works. No, I don't know what faith is anyways. It's about the things doing being primary. Maybe it's connected, but in a very complicated way. This is about what you're doing being primary. Then I can understand whatever it means, the correct, and in whichever sense, that's the middle. Okay, another question, in what sense is that the middle? But whatever sense that is the middle, we have this image of archery, this image of aiming, but it's the middle. In the middle, not really in the middle, right? It's not like you have to aim always in the middle, you have to aim to the target. It just happens to be that you could say to the right or to the left or to the up or to the down of the target are off target. Now, the skill of aiming is not a middle intermediate skill. It's sort of, you could say someone has too loose of an aim, so he's like too much, or maybe too tight of an aim, so therefore that causes him to make mistakes also. Okay. So in some sense, that's in the middle, but it's not what makes it good middle. What makes it that is, it's really the middle.
Middle is like there's a spectrum. Here, it's either on the target or it's off the target.
No, maybe you could be further from target and less far from the target. What I'm saying is that the middle only consists of being able to hit the target. It's the middle of aiming, it's not the middle of being at the target. There isn't any targetness in the middle. There is an aimingness in the middle, which is very different from how we imagine it usually as there being a targetness in the middle. Make sense what I'm saying?
No.
It's not like if I would make an apparition to your soul, which all of this is about doing, right? We're trying to use images in order to talk about something that nobody ever saw, which is a middle. And not if I could show you that, you would see that your middle, just like when you aim the bullet, it hits the middle, the bullseye. I would open your soul and then I would see your bullseye stickle over there. That's not what you're going to see. What you're going to see is some kind of something that finds the bullseye. Right?
Yeah,
right.
Because it's by the action. It's judged by the action.
Yes. So, therefore, I'm asking you if the Rambam does seem to say that the virtue is in the middle. The virtue is intermediate. Which is a weird thing to say. You should say the virtue is knowing the intermediate. That's all it is. It's towards the intermediate. It's not intermediate at all. In order to understand this, I was trying to think that if we understand what the virtue is at all. Because if all virtue boils down to knowing, then there aren't any virtues. By the way, the Chaznish said a funny thing. He said all virtue boils down to self-control, and therefore there's no virtue, because there's only self-control. Which is another big mistake. Because he thinks...
That, self-control.
So he's like Kant.
Yeah.
He thinks like Kant.
Basically, yeah. Similar, I don't know. Yeah. But in any case, it's forgetting that there is education of virtues. But also it's forgetting that there's such a thing as virtues. Now, in what sense, not just to be clear, in what sense is there distinct virtues? In two senses that I know about,
the
for
knowledge
sure.
Also the only
or at least they're the same sense.
Certain
so wait, very good. So one is that there's a science of each virtue. There's some knowledge. Now, this is not a science, not an abstract science, it's a practical science. Okay, there's an art of each virtue. There's something to learn. Like I keep on emphasizing, there's something to learn. That's why I said, unlike the Mesillas Shurim. Right? Unlike the Mesillas Shurim thinks you already know how to be good, you just need to remember to be good. You do not know how to be good. In the same way that I do not know how to hit the target. I can go to the target range and the shooting range. I pretend to know because I could see where the target is, but I have no idea what it means. Maybe I never tried, so I don't even know if I'm good or bad at it. Right? I have no idea how to aim the thing in order to hit the target. So I'm entirely ignorant of that art. Even though it seems like a very simple thing. Just shoot in the middle, right? That's why I keep on saying, like I used to give the example of the airplane. Maybe this is a better example. Much more simple. It has less moving parts. Right?
What's the airplane thing?
Go back to sheet number one or something and you'll find it. Right? Remember my airplane, Drusha? Now there's going to be a target, Drusha. Do you know how to hit the target in the shooting range? 100%. It's so simple. There. That's where it is. Yeah, thank you very much. Turns out that people seem to practice for a long time to get it. What are they doing in that practice? I don't know. How long do you practice?
Oh, years.
There's something to practice, right? Well, depends how far and how much, right? So what is this practice all about? Turns out that I have no idea how to hit the target. I know what the target is, and I know what hitting the target means. Thank you very much. That's not what we're looking for. Even that we don't always know in ethics, because we don't know what the target is. But let's present that we know, even after knowing that, I don't know how to do it. And I don't even know what do I have to look for. Like, do I have to count? Do I have to look at the wind? Oh, what did the wind got to do with anything? Oh, it turns out the wind pushes your bullet and you have to correct for it. Thank you very much. I didn't know that. That's something to be taught, right? Turns out when you scream at someone,
The Socratic picture maybe misses is that there's not just knowing what, but also knowing
how. Yeah, Aristotle tries to solve the problem by getting into these distinctions. I know how much to be angry, but I don't know that my anger is taken differently by different people, and therefore I have to calibrate it
and I can know
differently.
That, I can know
someone that loves me, I'm angry at them a little. You know that why you're not allowed to be angry at people? I just discovered this. You know why you're not allowed to be angry at people that you love or that love you? Because it's enough to be a little angry. People are confused. People say, you shouldn't make your... It says, no, it's Ishtar, right? You shouldn't make your wife be mad at your wife because she loves you, you love her. She's very close to you. It's very simple. The reason is, anger is a good thing. I'm trying to give you a good analysis. Anger means that I need to get something out of someone. And the way to get it is to make them realize that I'm serious about it, that I'm really mad. Let's say part of the... There's other things in anger going on, right? Now, if someone that's far from me, maybe if I throw a tantrum, they'll care. But if it's my wife, I just have to tell her. Usually she cares. So when you're getting too angry, you're just ruining it. It's too much. Way too much. And the reason people don't do it is because they don't realize that it's not necessary.
No.
This is what
they
happens.
Do it because they get overwhelmed.
Very good. That's the nomadic theory. I don't have the nomadic. Remember, I'm looking at activity as primary. The outside is before the inside.
You
get overwhelmed by emotions. That's the mistake you're making. The being overwhelmed, emotions are a kind of judgment. That's my theory. I like this way of thinking. It's much more useful than the other.
So I'm not getting overwhelmed by my own...
Exactly. It's not you. Nothing is in your head. It's between you and that person. It's, of course, based... Anger is something that works. You know, you scream at your child. Sometimes he listens to you, or at least he knows. Sometimes he doesn't listen, but at least he knows. This is something that Tati really cares about. But turns out he's your child. Why are you screaming at him? Maybe if it would be a stranger, you should scream at him. You should scream more at strangers than at your children. People are doing the opposite because they're confused about what anger is for.
And they also underestimate the impact of anger by proximity.
Exactly. Exactly. It's the we're opposite because we don't understand. We don't look. We're not looking clearly. Very simple.
I said to my brother today, I was in the hospital, and we tried to get the receptionist to do something for us.
You have to be very angry.
No, I gave a very wide smile. Okay. So I explained to my brother that
sometimes
I
that helps
do it
too.
Very consciously to smile. They smiling back subconsciously. They don't realize they're smiling, but they're just smiling back because I smiled.
There's just always thinking people do
the
things.
The right amount of flattery to have in the hospital is the highest amount.
Yeah, okay, that's different. Yeah, there's a different, there's correct amount of flattery also. That's a different discussion. That's also a way to get people to do what you want. I was talking about the anger way. Usually flattery works better. But that's a different discussion. Even that, you need to calibrate correctly. And I didn't think about that, so I can't talk to you about that. I think about anger, but we should think about flattery also. Flattery also has a too much and a too little. Right? And this whole thing, like you should, how does the Hamar and Chenach go? Only flattery, no anger.
Yeah.
Not love. It's not love. It's flattery, right? It's manipulative. Right? Towards a goal. Not expressing your love. No, that's not in question. Totally. Again, another confusion because of this internalist primacy, right? I think that this is a big confusion. That's why we make most of our mistakes is because we think that our states are important. Our states are not important. What's important is the interaction. And now getting your kid to do something by smiling is called flattery. And there's a correct amount of it. Also, there could be too much. Anyways, where am I getting back? We discussed it about the friendship discussion mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago about flattery versus criticism. And what I'm getting at with all these examples is just that there's a lot of knowledge. Knowledge not in the sense of book knowledge maybe, although you could write this in a book, just like you could write a book about how to play baseball well. But you're not going to get much out of reading the book. You're going to get a lot more about practicing the book. Right?
Yeah.
Baseball is a practical art, isn't it? I think
now.
Roger Scroton, or one of these weirdos, wrote an article about how baseball is the most Aristotelian sport. But my point is, because there's a lot of judgment and things like that. My point is something else. My point is that. I'm not saying that there's knowledge in this. Now, therefore, if we understand that there's a lot of specific knowledge, right? There's a lot of very specific knowledge going on in this having good virtues, right? Now, unlike what other people think that it's all about goodwill or good or like some kind of general knowledge. Now, since there's a lot of knowing or know-how, right? Opposite, other than as distinguished from knowing that, there's a lot of knowing how. Which is what practical knowledge is, knowing how. And then I could say that this knowing how, this is divided, at least more or less in the way that virtues are divided. Because the knowing how pertains to specific situations. Just like, and we can take the analogy of a doctor that Aristotle is very fond of, and Plato is very fond of, and the Rambam is very fond of. Right?
Fond,
yeah. They like it very much. This discussion of the analogy of ethics to health, right? Everyone knows what being healthy means. Well, actually, nobody knows. But let's say we all know what being healthy means, or what the end state that we're getting at is. What is being healthy? I don't know. Nowadays, we think it's just not being in the hospital. But being healthy has some kind of definition. But a doctor... Yeah, thank you very much.
What?
Of course. But a doctor...
Body functioning as intended.
Yeah, according to the Tachlis. But a doctor, the art of a doctor mostly doesn't consist of knowing what, or even a specific illness, knowing what it is and what the good state of it would be, isn't either what the doctor does most of his time. Doctors do spend a lot of time learning something, but it's not knowledge. It's not science, not episteme. I mean, it's a kind of episteme, not theoretical knowledge. Most of the time they spend studying very specific things, like in such a case, when someone who's in such a kind of symptoms and has such a kind of body, right, that's the difference in a doctor and a biologist in some sense, or even a clinical doctor versus a research doctor. What he's doing is a lot of details, but there is knowledge in that details. There's a ton of knowledge. It's even hard to formalize it in rules. If they find one rule that they're very happy, you know, it saves them a lot of time.
So
maybe AI will solve this.
Knowledge.
What?
So this is something we seem to value.
Experience is the kind of knowledge.
Yeah.
The kind of thing they need experience
for.
So
it's not just, we don't want a doctor who just came out of school even though they just learned everything. You want someone who's been doing it for some time.
Well, experience is teaching you particulars,
mm-hmm.
right? But knowledge of particulars.
But education.
This might be a level lower than what I was talking about, because But there's like a general knowledge that tells you how to act in each particular case, which is in between that. And since that depends on the case, right? So I could, I mean, then we could group these cases into different categories, right? We could say like, okay, thank you very much. It's true that all having good midas boils down to is knowing how to act in each case. That doesn't do anything. There's nothing like, I still don't know how to act at all. If I divide the cases into like these great categories, known as the lists of virtues, right? They say something like, there's knowing how to act with your money. Remember, there's also knowing how to act with your phone. Anyways, happens to be that there is, and I think that one of the reasons why we...
One for you.
My big theories about phones and internet is that everyone in the discussion today, did I ever do a course here about technology yet? No, only in my Zaya class I did a course about it, about the philosophy of technology. It's in Yiddish, and it will be somehow published at one time. But one of my big theories, thesis on tech, the whole discussion, the whole machlokes between the Knesset Klal Yisrael and the non-Knesset Klal Yisrael, whatever, is that both of them are mistaken because both of them don't know, well, in our context, both of them don't know what virtues are. So either you have, like, some people that have, like, this, the people that are my side, that are, like, something very simplistic, like, there's no nesoyon, there's no specific problem with having a smartphone, or what's the difference, people like, what's the difference between a smartphone and a tablet? You know, the halachas for them, said that it's a big difference between a smartphone and a tablet. A smartphone is trife, tablet is less trife, did you know?
No.
Telling us says halachas for them.
The internet says
that a yid should have a tablet rather than a smartphone. It says, that's for Magdashim.
Yeah.
And Kalachoymer, a computer.
Kalachoymer?
A computer is even better. Like the formats. And now if you have this like theoretical wisdom view of ethics, then you don't really understand the difference. Like I didn't used to understand. I used to laugh at those people. I decided that they were right. Why are they right? I'm not going to give a whole class on why phones are a problematic format. But for future class some point.
Why is it design of technology?
Yeah, the design of technology, which is has to do with the fact that form follows matter and the way you the matter is organized causes you to act in a certain way.
Are always different than the ones exactly. That happen on the phone.
Although it's theoretically, in some abstract sense, the same exact thing, the form factor makes a big difference on your behavior.
Yeah.
Right?
UX so, designers know this.
Of course they know this. The design of everyday things, you know that book? Anyways.
Norman?
I don't remember who wrote it. Yeah. It's very important. There's a whole science of this, right? Now, and the science is controlled by the Satrachra because it's all about selling you things. Not about making you a good, giving you a good life, right? There's really, according to the Rambam, according to the Torah, this is why halacha is really like this. According to truth, there's a good UX, there's ethical UX, not in the sense, not even only in the sense of not manipulating you, of causing you to be well, do better. Why am I getting into all this? Oh, so all I'm saying is that since most people don't even understand this, so they tend to like go into very extreme things. Either they say, who cares? As how do they say, guns don't kill people, people kill people. Which is not true. People with guns kill people. Did you notice?
Yeah.
I mean, you could kill someone with your bare hands, but that's harder. It's easier with a gun. So it's not both. They seem to. There's some causality in the gun too.
Yeah.
You can't. Whatever the gun program people say, guns don't people. It's true. Guns don't have agency. Guns don't do nothing. But it's also not true that people kill people.
Yeah.
So both of these sides are totally mistaken. They don't have a very good theory of human action. Right? People with guns kill people. People without guns, it's harder for them to kill people. So it's not the same thing, right? When you have a gun,
never kill anybody.
And not only that, I read this in the Atlantic once. But when you have a gun, the world looks different to you. This was an pro-gun control argument, but it's a true Aristotelian argument. Because you know how they say the world looks different from the side of a gun, because now everyone becomes a target. You notice that people are not targets until you look at them through the sights. So it changes. This is practical wisdom. This is like. Or practical folly, whatever. But it's kind of seeing that your tools give you, that makes the world look different. That changes your epistemology, not only your action. And these things are connected, since what virtue consists of is a kind of seeing the world that makes you see. Did we go through the whole British philosopher that talks about this, about the example of the son-in-law, of his daughter-in-law, that lady?
Iris Murdoch.
Yeah, Iris Murdoch. We talked about her in Jewish already. Anyways. So, what am I saying is, so, got back to what I'm saying is that this is why the good behavior relative to technology has its own book that talks about it. There's its own science or its own practice. It's not enough to like say, I'm a good person. That's why I say, I'm a good person, I don't have a problem. No, you're a good person. Being a good person consists of having good habits which are relative to specific human behaviors or human habits, like human areas of behavior. Since we do have patterns, when it's not every time is new. There are patterns, there are repetition, there are forms in the world, right? You can't say I'm a good person, and therefore the question of pornography on the internet is the same question as in a magazine. It's a different question. Even though it's the same exact thing or whatever, it's different because it's in a video form or whatever, but it's, let's say it's the same exact thing, it's still different because of the way in which your hand presses the button. Makes a difference. Because your habits, some of them live in your hands. Mm. Or not literally in your hands, but in whatever corresponds to that in your soul, in your mind, and wherever it is. And this is why. This is why there's Shulchan Aruch that's so long. That's talking about each thing separately. And doesn't just boil down to be a good person, unlike what Jesus thought, or Paul thought, or whatever. Of course, that's not even true for Jesus. He also ended up making a Shulchan Aruch. But... What it is? Yeah, every society has laws. I don't know.
Okay.
Did Christians actually live in an anarchic society with no laws? Not that I know of.
So unless you had even more laws.
Yeah, Catholics have a lot of laws.
Everyone has laws, and Protestants just tell the state to make the laws for them. What difference does it make?
Yeah.
Do you know how many laws the United States has? Nobody knows.
Yeah.
They actually asked the Congress. The congressional office called, I forgot that, right, the laws, count how many laws there are, and they came back that they have no idea. They can't figure it out. It's Midrash of many. So,
that's what you mean, it became, okay.
It's not possible to know, maybe it's possible to know, but nobody knows how many laws the United States has.
But you think the law book of the state is a result of Jesus?
Okay, I'm just saying way too many random things because I'm not being disciplined today. But the point is that there are specific, back to where I'm saying, my mahalach is that there are specific, to remember my structure. My structure is that everything starts from good deeds and it's the habits that are defined by that, and therefore we ask the question, in what sense are the habits intermediate? And we started to say one answer, that's the whole sheet. And we're starting to say one answer, which is that the habits might be intermediate in the sense of them pertaining to one area. In other words, we started to answer that by asking the question how they are separate virtues at all. I said they're separate virtues because what a virtue is something practical or very close to just the practice. It's a knowledge, but something very close to a practice and not something very general. Generalities don't help us much. And they consist even of both of knowledge and of habits pertaining to specific things. This is why they don't entirely transfer, even though what's called the unity of the virtues theory is correct. They're connected. In other words, if someone knows how to act well in relative to one area of his life, it does tend to carry over in all kinds of ways, but it still isn't the same thing. And it's possible for someone to be very good I think that experience bears this out. It's possible for someone to behave very well in one area and very badly in a different area, and very often because of this mistake, I think.
For example, a good Jew but not a good law-abiding citizen?
Maybe, I don't know if that's a very complicated case, but I mean something like someone that would never steal from his when he goes to the... Yeah, you know, someone told me that someone that would never steal from the soda machine in shul, even though it's like you're just an honor system, you put the dollar and you take a donut, and you would never take a donut without permission, but it does take $1 million from the bank without permission, right?
Yeah.
Why is that? Like someone told me, it says, Din Pritek, Din Mai, it says that we should have wrote, Din Mai, Din Pritek. Because he has a lot of questions of the roof and lake, where you get questions like, am I allowed to take, do I owe my neighbor a dollar? And then the roof has to answer the question. It's all a problem, because in the Chosh Mishpat is not, you know, the Torah. Anyways, and nobody asks, nobody ever calls the roof, do I owe my neighbor $1 million? Never yet happened. Then the other guy calls, right? Why is that? What? It's an interesting question, right? Why isn't it the same thing? What?
He hasn't yet had the chief.
I don't think it's because people of Al Musta would say it's the same thing. There's a bigger Nisayon. Listen, the different Nisayon. Because the way quantity makes a difference in some things, you know, it's just a quantity question. $1 million behaves differently than $5. And your behavior towards that, in some sense, belongs to a different virtue. Aristotle literally has different virtues for making larger nations than smaller nations, you know?
But it's also magnificence. It's also a little bit as a part of a product of the design. Committing wire fraud doesn't...
Yes, of course.
You don't reach your hand into the box.
Yes, true. It's true. If the banks would have made boxes, the people would steal less. I mean, maybe. I don't know. It's true. It has to do with the UX. It's true. That's also true. But that's, again, because our virtues pertain to the UX.
And it's easier to know not to the theory. Donut than it is to know not to do wire fraud.
Right, because you can see the donut and you can't see the wire fraud. It's not even clear who you're harming by the wire fraud, right? Maybe there's a real moral difference, right? Maybe it's true that the person that doesn't take donuts is a worse person. Maybe actually it's
the
true.
Knowledge that you have to have for why not you don't take the donut, and the knowledge that you have to have for why you shouldn't do wire fraud are very different, right?
Yeah, and maybe it's even true. And I was like, maybe it's true that committing wire fraud isn't as bad as taking donuts without paying.
Yeah.
Or even not sharing your donuts, or even something more simple, like more or less that the government thinks is less harmful, but really is more harmful. Maybe it's more harmful to the social contract that you take donuts, more donuts than your share, than taking lying on your loan applications.
But then he's not right? giving his dollar for and the donut, he's giving the bank dollar.
I get it. Well, then who cares if the bank doesn't exist, right? What's a bank? It's an abstraction. I think part of the reason why modern life is so morally complex is because we live in the world of abstractions where we don't have what's called moral intuition, or Aristotle would call it, we don't have moral habits. We don't have any moral relative to abstractions. Nobody has any allegiance to a corporation or to an imaginary thing. You're at least...
A hedged option.
Yeah, that's really why. I think that's why modern life is so morally deficient. Because of this problem. Maybe there's a way. In other words, what I would tell you is, or like I said, Aristotle, for example, has these different virtues pertaining to, if, for example, when he talks about donations, right? The virtues of giving. There's correct giving. Part of being a good person is giving out your money. And there are separate virtues for giving a little amounts of money and big amounts of money. Like, it's a different mitzvah. The giving tzedakah to someone that knocks on your door and says, I need money for my chasana, is a different kind of virtue than the one where you give a building to the shul. One is called magnificence, another one is called liberality and the ethics. And why? It's the same thing, it's just more money. Well, no, firstly, it's not going to anyone. Of course, it's a more diffuse thing. Like, it's just for the public. Like, it's not exactly a gift to someone, but it's also a different kind of thing. There's a different kind of practice of how to do that well. Let's say some people are good at, you could see that some people only do that one, and some people... No, I'm not serious. It's a different guy. It's based on different... I'm not going to say it's part of a different part of your soul, because we're trying to make the actions primary. But it's a different kind of habit, and there's different laws, different rules of how this, although rules are not the important thing here, right? There's different ways in which can be good or bad, and then that can be good and bad. And therefore, this is a very simple way for distinguishing between virtues. You could say someone might have temperance and not courage, not because there are different things. There's like a courage module in your soul that's not activated. That's not the point. It's the same module, let's say. I don't know. But there is different... knowledge is different specific, since ethics is a specific art, a specific good, is a specific practices, specific knowledge that you need to have relative to this and relative to that. Does that make sense? And then, of course, specific knowledge, like things that I could teach you, and more importantly, specific exercises, since you start liking, right? You know it by maybe knowing it once, maybe, or maybe the knowledge that's experienced by seeing it many times, and you like it by doing it many times, right? Like exercise. You start liking it by doing the exercise. So you both need to have a different knowledge and a different exercise for each thing. If you exercise your virtue muscle, your temperance muscle, you become temperate in the sense of liking temperance. And if you but that doesn't make you courageous at all. And therefore, we can go back and try to explain that in the same, that's a sense in which the virtues themselves are middles. Does this solve the problem or it doesn't at all? Or just another nice thing to know.
The way in which the virtues are called middle, I think, is... It definitely explains what a middle virtue might be, but the name middle, I think...
It's still not in the middle of anything, right?
Yeah. Unless we understand the middle to just be that it's not mediated by an extreme, because... Or by the default location of... But it's brought to the middle of the two by some other principle. Or it's calibrated by knowledge. So instead of just being floating somewhere on the spectrum,
the knowledge is of the middle of each thing, but it doesn't solve how the knowledge is a middle, how the or the habit is a middle. The habit is towards the middle. It's still towards the middle. It's just of each thing. I just added the each thing.
I wouldn't call it in the middle of it. I would call it between.
Same thing. But how is it between?
I wouldn't say that it's not meaning. I'm between? Trying to make a distinguishment.
I'm not worried about the middle and between. That's a different discussion. That's the question of what between even means. I'm talking about in which way the virtue is in between, as distinct from the active action.
The virtue is in between because that's...
It didn't solve my problem.
Let's say you have...
This whole Derusha didn't actually solve it.
No, but I think that it sort of does, because let's say, just to use the archer's example, right? When the archer knows where the target is, right? Sure, he's biased, but he's at least biased. He has an informed bias, right? Let's call it that, right?
Yeah, that's...
The informed bias is going to be somewhere between the two extremes in a way that... Again, I don't know if it's 99% or 2%, but it's brought towards something. It's likely to be somewhat, at least mediated, or between these, intentionally between the two.
You're still answering the question that I'm not worried about. I'm just saying that the knowledge or the habit is towards a middle and doesn't consist of a middle.
Saying is it does consist of a middle of the two, right? Tchunasra, right? Whatever, the two bad measures.
I get that. In other words, someone who...
So
I'm
saying between and not middle.
I get that. That's actually what it says. It would be in between. So with this whole detour into like the different virtues is not relevant. It doesn't help me really.
Maybe
it's a nice thing to know, but it doesn't actually help for this question. What helps me question is what you're saying. That, wait a second. What helps the question is what you're saying, which is that it's not between in the sense of, well, I do want to get this to a sense in which the doing it is a kind of between. But it's between in the sense, like, if you could have a person that has the tendency or the habit towards an extreme, and that would be a bad extreme, and this person has the correct tendency. Like, there's someone who always hits that way and someone who always hits this way, and those are the too much and the too little, and there's one person who hits always correctly.
Can we sum up the conversation for a moment?
I think I made a detour that didn't do anything for my actual problem. Well, that's only what you're saying is doing something for my actual problem. Good, so now let's skip the whole detour and say something simple, that the good is defined by good things, which are a kind of middle. We didn't explain what kind of middle yet. Not at all.
We should do that.
Yeah, what does it mean for the activity to be in the middle? I didn't explain to you yet.
Maybe it's because in the middle, because he's not spending too much time for one particular middle. He's spending an equal amount of time to gather the knowledge.
No, but why is each one, in which way is each one a middle? No, I'll get to it. You have to find a way in which each one is a middle.
Because he's not spent longer on that one more than...
No, it's not not a balance between different middles. It's a balance between the correct and the incorrect of that one middle.
Yeah.
So that's not really what we're looking for. What I'm saying is that, and my question was, if the habit is in the middle, since we don't have the pneumatic theory of midas, then the habit is not like having not too much. The habit is just knowing when, or knowing how much, knowing how to aim at. Therefore, I say that, and I read this like machloikas mefarshes manayin in Aristotle, how to read it. I think that this tzad is correct, that says that the middle habit, the middle virtue, consists of the aim towards the virtue. But why we call it the middle, I try to say that it's because that there is some specific knowledge about the middle in this area, since there are specific virtues and only one virtue of knowing, but that doesn't actually solve my problem. That still just solves how there's middles for each virtue, for each activity. But doesn't really solve how the knowledge, how the... Middles.
Well, it kind of go the same way. Meaning, there's a giving of giving of money that's in accordance with reason, right? An amount. There's an amount of giving money that's too much, and there's an amount that's too little,
mm-hmm.
right? And reason can dictate where between those two a person acts.
Yeah, that's fine, but this reason is what we were talking about the whole time. The practical reason.
I think that's true from the action.
But the reason is not a middle. Reason is just correctness.
Yeah, but reason will
it's
bring
true
you to
that
somewhere
the bad one
them.
Would be too much and the bad and then la- and the or too little.
Meaning it could be that the amount of that you should give just to make it a little stupider, but is to give 20% tzedakah with 80% generosity.
Yeah, but again, you're worried about a different. Fine, I can tell you're worried about if it's useful. I'm not worried.
I'm saying in what sense they're middle. I'm saying in what sense it's the middle.
I get what you're saying. I'm not worried. I'm worried about something more specific. In what sense is
so
the virtue the middle? My kasha today is, and it's already 10:20. My kasha is, in what sense the virtue is the middle as distinct from the actions being the middle? Your kasha is, in what sense is the action the middle? since the middle is just by correct judgment or by correct reason. That is one question.
Virtue is also the middle.
No. Again.
Again, maybe the virtue is...
Whichever, maybe you're right that we have to first understand that. I agree with you. We have to first understand that. And we don't really understand it yet. But I think we understand it already. But maybe we don't. So we have to go back to understand that next time. Maybe you're right. What time? When did I start? I didn't start more than an hour ago.
I mean, if you try and see all the possible information.
Yeah, that's not going to help
during
us.
The middle
you find that the information it's in the this middle? Lesson has.
It's in the middle? It's the correct amount.
No.
I don't know. No, it's in the middle. Just be very clear. Which is very clear. What is true, what we know, what it says is that the correct activities are in the middle in the sense of being the correct amounts and the correct times of being angry and so on. That's all it's in the middle. It's not in the middle as an amount. What does it even mean to be in the middle for that? We'll get to next time. We didn't say what it means for it to be in the middle, okay? We said last time, in Bar Park, we didn't get to it in here in last week. We talked about why the middle. Why would the middle be the same as the good? I don't remember. We talked about this last week a little. Yeah. I don't know if we get to an answer, but at least we got to that question. We have to talk about another question, what the middle means. We never discussed that yet in any class. That's Shem next week. Parshas Chayesura is going to be about that. This week we discussed a different question, which is maybe the wrong order. Maybe I should have pushed this to the next one. I don't know why I started this. I really wanted to talk about that today, but I got into this. Which is why, but it's important, because it's important for us to understand the model, where the activities are prime, the first thing, and the middle is what makes you know and like these activities. And then I understand in what way disliking and knowing is a middle. I try to answer it by using the fact that there are specific knowings and likings for each middle. So therefore there is some specific like knowledge, which is of the middle of each thing, but it's still of the middle, not middle. So that doesn't solve the problem at all. I was wasting my time with that whole thing. Not wasting my time, Chazal Shalom, because it's good to know anyways, but it's wasting my time relative to this.
I thought you'd known already the answer. But
I don't know no answers. I thought that there was an answer, but I was wrong. So therefore, I think that Shmuley's answer to this puzzle is the correct one, which is that it's only the middle in a similar way to which the whole thing is a middle. But that's really the question which we skipped and we should have gotten to. It's the middle.
Because of the results.
It's the middle because in some sense of like relative to what would be a bad person or a good person. Right? It's the people. If you have three people, one of which has too much courage, let's say, too little courage, whatever, it's not the correct terminology, but one of that's too much and too little, and those people have it both in their activities and in their habits. So so the bad aimer has the kind of habit that caused them to shoot too far.
Yeah.
The weak aimer has the kind of habit that caused them to shoot fall too short. And the correct aimer has the kind that caused them to fall. In that sense, it's the people. So it's the only 2%. One way it's in the middle is the people. So the middle in this sense doesn't help us at all.
Right? Yeah. It's
maybe in the targeting.
It's the middle because it's not too much and it's not too little.
Exactly. And that too much and too little are referring to two people
who have the wrong ones.
Exactly, right? But it's not telling us what kind of knowledge you should have. Telling you that the knowledge is in the middle is not helping us at all.
Yeah.
So we have to go back to what the activity is, understand what does it even mean that we're saying the middle, and does it help us at all? Those are two different questions, right?
Yeah.
And a third question is what we asked last week, why would we want to say
does it help us at all is hopefully true. But does it help us at all? Hopefully the answer is yes, at least.
No, the answer is no. The answer to that is no, it doesn't help us. I think that the answer to that is supposed to be that it doesn't help us. It's not meant to help us. It's meant to tell us what kind of thing we're looking for. It's not meant to tell us what we're looking for.
But that's practical, not the practical wisdom of it.
Exactly. It's not the
that
middle.
That would be to go into Kitzvah Achren or something.
That would be to... The answer, just to be clear, there's a whole bunch of different questions. Each one should be a different class. This is the third class on this little series. And we spoke about two or three of... What was the first class about? I don't remember. 2 weeks ago, what did we talk about in this series? Other things. There's a bunch of different questions.
Friendship, flattery.
Yeah, but like something about the middle. That was a different shadow of the middle, really. Anyways, there's a whole bunch of different questions. Okay, one question is what does it mean, the middle? Between what and what? In what sense is it the middle? What does it even mean, these words, the middle? Okay,
spoke about in our first class.
Yeah, but we didn't enough. Second question is, why would anyone think that the middle is the correct one? Of course, all these questions are connected one with the other, depending on what the answer to one is. We have to know the answer to those. But why would the middle be good? What's the middle got to do with good? That's actually presuming the answer that middle means good.
The middle of what something is.
Middle means good. Okay, well, you know already. Correct. By correct reason. A third question is, assuming that we know all these things or different, is it helpful to say that something is that the middle is the good? Let's say the middle means the word for the correct. What is that fact that telling you that it's the middle doesn't give you any information about what to do? That is, okay, that's a third question. A fourth question is what we asked today. Four different questions. Fourth question is what we asked today, that assuming I think I organized these entirely backwards. But in any case, the fourth question is what we asked today, which is that, presuming that we know already in what sense the middle is the good, or what it means for the middle to be good, or if it's useful or not, all of that, it's for sure we understand that the middle is something pertaining to the action, like my example of the aiming. In what sense is the virtue a middle, right? This is based on something we should really already know very clearly, which is the difference between the virtue and the activity and the liking and all these things. And is there any sense in which the liking is in the middle? And the answer was sort of no. Right? Yeah. It's not in the middle. It's only in the middle of two different people.
Right.
It's possible that the activity is in the middle in a more significant sense. But it's. I think that to tell you in one sentence, I think that the answer to the question is if the word the middle is informative is no. It's not informative in the sense of like, should I get angry? Well, are you in the middle? It's not supposed to be informative in that way. It's informative about something else. It's informative about what, a more general question, like what kind of thing good activities are. Telling you that they're all in the middle helps us understand what kind of thing. Of course, that helps us also look for the correct definition and the correct answers, but it doesn't tell us how angry to be at all.
Yeah.
I don't think it's supposed to answer that question. People think it does, but it doesn't. Okay, Adkan. For today, you could close my video and have a good night.